1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Well, Fox has been gleefully reporting, and when I say gleefully, they might as well be kicking their heels and jumping in the air. A man ran over and killed 8 people along Arizona Avenue out in Santa Monica near the 3rd Street Promenade this afternoon. Word is he may be elderly. Word is he may have been having a heart attack. He might be from outer space. It's a tragic, horrific incident, but one that certainly all the tragedy and the horror involved in this doesn't keep Fox from excitedly going on about their business of just, I mean, they are sweating and perspiring with glee reporting this thing. You'd think they were talking about the circus coming to town.
I'll tell you something right now, Shepard, and everything's just really, and it's happening right down here.
These guys, these hysterical you know, to get a job on Fox Television News, you have to be, first of all, I think you just have to be a regularly cheerful kind of guy. Just a guy that really gets off on anything and everything. Especially when it involves like 8 people getting butchered up on a street by some guy going 90 miles an hour. Man, they can't get the cameras out there fast enough. And Shepard Smith, of course, even though he has that orientation, his sensitivity doesn't quite come out all the time. I mean, you know, the sensitivity that he needs to buy that skin cream, but suddenly he's all hard news, man. He's all hard all the time, if you know what I mean. And he's sitting there talking about, and I understand there were bodies flying in the air, and I also heard there was cars going 90 miles an hour. And another thing, and the eyes dilate, and the perspiration begins to flow, and you'd swear something pornographic was happening under that table. You know, the news is bad enough, baby. You don't have to lay it on me like you're reporting, you know, Emmett Kelly, man, just jumped through a burning hoop. You don't have to report it to me like, you know, the Yankees won the World Series. It's bad. And it's big. It's all over the news. It's the only thing going on. All over the news, guy runs into people. This is it. That the hurricane that you guys are suffering with in Texas, forget about you. Some old guy ran some people over in Santa Monica, 8 people dead. It's a tragedy. There's no doubt about it. I have to, of course, make that claim, lest people think that I'm being insensitive. And it wouldn't matter. I mean, if you want to think I'm insensitive, you're going to think I'm insensitive. I could come on here all day. I could cry right now, and people are going to think I'm being an obnoxious ass. But lest you think I'm being insensitive, of course it's a tragic event. I ain't the guy reporting it like, you know, I'm reporting the debut of the next Olsen Twins movie. Fox is. And, man, you can almost see, I bet you when O'Reilly comes on, you'll almost, his mouth will just kind of, you know how people sound when their mouth is dry? Just, yeah, I bet you his mouth is just dry from the sexual hysteria of reporting more carnage. Which, by the way, O'Reilly, you better, if I were you, man, I would be a little angry at Pat Robertson. He's taken a page out of your book. He was on his knees praying for a repeal of the anti-sodomy laws. Now, you know, this was some guy's headline, it wasn't mine, but let me just go ahead and repeat it. Being on your knees praying about sodomy, man, that ain't a good idea. And, of course, you're the kind of guy, man, you report everything that has to do with anything pornographic, especially child pornography, especially anything having to do with sex, man. You're all over that, right? You're climbing all over anything sexual. Sex and violence, baby. You and Shep, hand in hand. Straight and gay, hand in hand. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And, of course, you know, when you give out the email address, that means people are going to write to you. And when they write to you, then it reminds you of why you, in the past, never gave out the email address. It's kind of like giving out the phone number, which I'm going to give out right now. 1-800-449-8686. I'll probably wind up regretting that in about 3 hours, too. Yes, we are taking phone calls for a limited time this afternoon. You can turn up the radio after you get off the air with me and hear the delay and hear yourself going,
okay, Phil, thanks a lot.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So I'm going to say this. I'm not going to get into I've got some emails to read later on, but I won't get into the content of them right now. But I love it when people print off an article from the Internet. which means A, they didn't write it. B, it's some lame brain who got something posted on the net. It's not corroborated. It's in a magazine or it's in a review that no one ever heard of before. It might even be a friend of theirs. It might even be them under a pseudonym. Here's an interesting article I found, Mr. Henry. Turns out it's them under a different name. And without going into the content of the article, because it's total rubbish, this guy sends me this article about black slave owners. Now, what that means is, you see, blacks own slaves too, so that must make it okay. What is that supposed to mean? Would you just accept one thing and one thing only? Just get this into your heads forever. Whites created slavery. Whites bought the slaves. Whites brought them to America. And I don't care if you didn't have any ancestors that owned any slaves. You live in America right now. It's a problem we all got to deal with, race relations, so you got to deal with it. Whether you like it or not, you got to deal with it. Whether you like it or not. You understand what that means, don't you? So you could talk all you want about how this didn't happen, that didn't happen. If you live in the human race and you're living on the planet Earth in America in the year 2003, buddy, whether you like it or not, you have got to live and swim in the same water we all do. Quit trying to make excuses about it. What is this with people, my ancestors never owned any slaves? How the hell do you know, A, B, if they didn't, so what? What does that mean? So, in other words, you're cool. Everything's cool? So you don't have to worry about nothing, right? Because they didn't own no slaves, so you'd have no problem with that. And since none of your ancestors were ever in jail, you shouldn't have to worry about crime either, right? And since all of your people always paid their taxes and made their way in life, you shouldn't worry about poverty. And since everybody in your family is over 6 feet tall, and you shouldn't worry about the rights of midgets. I mean, what are you trying to... Well, that's about it. In fact, I got a letter just like that. Dear Phil, I'm disgusted with your comments about dwarfs. I'm 6'5". Why should I care? You know, sincerely, Al Gore. And then he went on to say, so enough of that. You know, your emails about the... How did we get on this? Anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. I have no idea why I got this. Oh, I know what it was. I was teasing. I was reading emails, and I was talking about... something, class warfare as opposed to racial warfare. That was it. I knew I was flying over too many people's heads with that one. I knew it. When I got into that, it was just right over their heads. And then the other one was, oh, God, this one was great. Learn some. Oh, yeah, the superiority of black athletes. This is a great one. This is one people just, you know, it's amazing. But it goes to the King Kong image that most people have about blacks. It's just amazing how hard people hang on to the idea that a black guy is a superior athlete because he's got a big ass and he's genetically altered by the mutant black god or something, and he was just created to be faster. It's not proven by any science. Unproven. Unproven. It is not a scientific fact in any way, shape, or form. That's why that lame brain Dusty Baker, you know, that guy that manages the Who, the Cubs now, you know, that idiot? This clown came out with his own version of eugenics. He was talking about, not eugenics, but his own version of race breeding, putting the big black with his big black woman to make the big kid. He said that white people don't take the heat as well as black guys. Hey, man, Dusty, if you're out there, which you're probably not, you're probably still face down after that game last night, I would play you in golf in Palm Springs, 125 degrees out in August, anytime you want. Anytime you want. But in any event, blacks are not superior athletes. It is not a medical or scientific fact. There is no science that backs it up at all. The reason why so many do so much better in sport is because the economic advantage was there, and they, hey, just plain try harder because, hey, you know what? The options for other ways of making big dollars just don't exist. Now, yes, of course, maybe they do today, but old habits die hard, and when there is a traditional avenue to economic independence, people tend to take it. Let me ask you a question. If blacks are so such fast runners, how come the East Germans were kicking our asses in the Olympics all those years in the 100 meter? And don't talk to me about steroids, because we were pumping them just as much as they were. So don't even worry about that. Don't even get into that one. How come the white guys from East Germany were murdering us in the 100 meter? Anybody got an idea on that one? If black folks jump and run so great, how come the number one high jumper in the world is generally a white guy? It's not a black guy. White guys jump high. What is that? I thought the black guys stuffed the basketball so good that it's just that the white guy, white men can't jump. Last time I heard, a white guy jumped 9 feet. He did the old the Fosbury flop, baby. How come if black guys run and jump and swing from vines so good, the number one pole vaulter is generally a white guy? Okay? How come if black guys are so freaking fast and so have such agility, how come none of them ice skate? Why don't they play, hockey? Why aren't they out there kicking ass in that sport? Why, they can't take the cold? Well, if they can't take the cold, how come there are some black guys that play hockey? Those three black guys can take the cold. You want to know why there's not a lot of black guys in hockey? You want to know why? Are you ready? Because you better sit down for this one. It's going to shock you. There are not a lot of them living up there, man. You want to know why there are not a lot of them living up there? Because they were all brought into the country down south, and that's about where they stayed. Until they got the idea that they weren't too welcome down there, then a lot of them went north. Can't take the cold. How many black folks you think live in New York City? You want to know how cold it gets there? Try last winter, man. They got about 4 feet of snow one day. Black guys can't take the cold, huh? The Minnesota Vikings had the Purple People Eater, their four defensive linemen, playing back in the days when there was no Dome Stadium in Minneapolis. They were playing in Bloomington, and it was 800 million degrees below zero, and these guys, all they ever did was kick ass day in and day out, week in and week out. Jim Marshall, Alan Page, Carl Eller, and another black guy whose name I can't remember. He's probably white, though. I think he was a white guy. I think it was Ron Yeary. Well, who cares? Three out of four. You give me enough time, let's cut 30 years off of Phil Hendry's life, let's say I'm 20 again, and let me work out and take another black disc jockey from around the country. I'll kick his ass in one-on-one basketball. In fact, I could probably go at the age of 20 one-on-one with Julius Erving, no problemo. You know what I do? Steve Harvey and me right now. How about me and Steve Harvey, and we'll play hockey? We'll do two out of three. Two hockey games and one basketball game. Since he can't take the cold and I can't take the heat, how about if we have two hockey games and then we have a jungle run or something? I don't know. We'll do a vine swinging contest. And not only that, I bet you I could kick his ass at checkers. We'll do two out of three at checkers, two out of three at chess. He'd probably beat me in chess. Will you people stop it? Will you give it a rest? Will you move on to something else? Get a hobby. Take up Madden 2003 like I did. Until, of course, I wiped out all of my teams last night when I hit an update the wrong way. All of my teams are gone. I wiped the whole file out. I got to start all over again. Some guy downloads an article off the internet about that.
Here is proof positive, Mr. Hendry, that the scientific facts are...
Okay, thanks a lot, Poindexter. There are no scientific facts. See, just because some guy put something on the internet, some guy you know, someone who flunked out of medical school, or some nut that's on the run from the law for trying to splice twins together, or some guy that was trying to, resurrect dead life, putting a brain in a dead body, or whoever it is you know, doesn't mean he's a doctor and shouldn't mean he knows how to write or understand science. You dig? All right, this is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, Fox better start showing a few more pictures of that guy running over those people in Santa Monica, because Shepard Smith looks like he's running out of juice. It just isn't the same reporting on sex crimes in West Virginia when you've got all this juicy stuff going on, man, because he just looks really depressed until they get back to that footage of the old man plowing through 800 people, rubbing his hands together with glee.
And now...
Apparently, the old guy was 80. There, okay. What else do you want to talk about? What do you want to have a debate about whether old people should be driving? That's been going on for 20 years. Huh? What, you want to talk about what we should do about it? Hey, I don't. I'm not going to talk about it. Old guy in 80, he was 80 years old, he ran over a bunch of people. What do you want me to say? What, do you want him to go to jail? What do you think? You think the old guy ought to go to jail? I think they ought to put him in jail for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, which is about a week, 2 weeks. They give him a life sentence, it's like, what, 48 hours? He killed 8 people. I think the guy goes away and goes away forever. I think, personally, I think it's the gas chamber. What do you think of that? Oh, is that too cruel? Funny how things change when the guy's 80, isn't it, huh? I think the guy ought to get lethal injection. I think he ought to get the chair. I think he ought to get all 6 of them at once. What, you know what they're going to wind up making him do? Pick up trash on the 405. He's going to have to put on an orange vest. Well, we'll give you community service, Dr. Brown. All right, good. Guy's probably a doctor, probably a veterinarian, wears a little, you know, kind of a plaid vest on the weekends and goes out and just, well, the leaves are getting thicker this year, Benny. And Benny comes, he's been there for 26 years. You know, Benny's now 50, started out as a guard, as the yard boy. Now he's 50. And, you know, his wife died a few years ago. She just collapsed on a cruise or something. Now he's back there at the house and just kind of looks out the window with the cup of tea. And his daughter comes and visits. Still maintains the practice every now and again. He looks at a dog here and there. He'll go in, opens the hospital up on weekends, takes in a cat run over by a truck. He's a nice man. Nothing wrong with him. Neighbors say he's a great guy. Next thing you know, he thought it was the brake. It's the accelerator. Oh, looks like a red light. I better hit the brake. You know, he eats the pistachio nuts and throws the shells on the ground and says, well, it's okay, the squirrels will eat them. Yes, sir, Dr. Brown. Some days you see him walking down the street in his little windbreaker, and, you know, he's a good guy, you know, likes to watch a football game, likes SC. I love to see the Bruins play, you know, and he's okay. And the next thing you know, he's going out to Santa Monica, going to the farmer's market, wanted to get himself a bag of fruit. Maybe he was going to get some bananas. You know, his nephew was coming. He didn't know whether he should get one banana or two. You know, he's going to go and get himself some fruit, some. And next thing you know, the orthopedic shoe gets caught under the brake and he can't stop. What do you want to do? You want to put this guy away for the rest of his life? You want to kill him? You want to get on the radio and debate what this cat's about? I mean, he's okay. There's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with the guy. He's okay. People died. You see, you can't make a bad guy out of everybody, man. It's just, it's impossible. Sometimes it's impossible. Oh, cool, a police beating on videotape. Oh, man, and check this out. Shooting Iraqi civilians. What I want to talk about this old creep for when there's really cool stuff on Fox. Now, if they just show some footage of that guy going through that crowd again. You can't talk about a guy who's a good man, 80-year-old senior citizen, retired, lived his life, maybe he was a good father. See, people want to know, they just got to believe there's something bad about the guy. There's nothing bad about him. He made a mistake. 8 people are dead. Well, somebody's going to want to put the guy in. They're going to want to put him in jail for something. I say community service. I say serving up soup down there at the mission and then picking up McDonald's cups out on the 405. And if he finds any porn, he can keep it. Because what are you going to do? Huh? You want to put him in the jail cell, feel better? And we have this kick going in the society now. You know, we're tough on crime. You know, let them deliver meals to the elderly, all right? I got a better idea. Let them just go back home and live like a typical old person in American society. That's punishment enough. While he's sitting in his own crap and somebody slides food under his door, twice a day. And then he gets up and shuffles to the TV to try to find something else to watch while his own feces runs down the back of his thigh. Yeah, I'd say that's punishment enough, wouldn't you? What do I know? I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's take some phone calls, shall we? Right after this break, shall we? Or we shall? Well, we will anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, right after this.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up today, R.C. Collins, a cadet from Bradley Military Academy, talks about the GIs in Iraq, and they are sorely lacking, in his opinion, when it comes to guts. That is going to be interesting with R.C. Collins at 6 here on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. Hello, Doug, you're on the air.
Phil, you're making sense. Why are you doing this to the good people of America? They're confused. You know, the ignoramuses are not going to be able to keep up.
I don't care what they think.
You know, a lot of people in this country got two speeds, slow and dead stop.
And like that guy on Santa Monica today.
Well,
that guy, the only thing that stopped him, man, was like the engine parts were shredding away the more people he hit.
Oh, unfortunately, some of us lose.
But is he one of your favorite people? Huh?
Well, some of us lose it when we get older. It's not his fault, probably.
Oh, look at you making excuses all of a sudden. I thought you were going to come in heavy hitting here. I thought you were going to really start swinging for the fences. Now you're making excuses for this guy.
Maybe he was a guy that didn't like that white people can't jump.
Maybe he was, you tell me he was black and he didn't like white folks? It was black rage?
He could have been, man. You know,
or maybe it was white rage. Maybe it was white rage, but he was nearsighted.
Could have been that too.
He thought he was hitting black people, and they were all white. Got out of the car and said, "Oh, gee, what did I do? What are you doing, you idiot? They're white."
Hey, we got to get past this color thing, also, man. It's real.
It's never going to happen. Forget it. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen because, see, the greatest crime. One of the greatest crimes in the history of man was the slave trade, and I know that, white folks, they don't want to hear it, because if they have to face it, it's truly a horrific thing. And the Holocaust, there have been a lot of bad things, right? Just last night, I saw one more Indian getting wrestled to the ground by some cop somewhere. How many more Native Americans am I going to see get wrestled to the ground by a cop? I think it was a Canadian cop, too, which they're particularly adept at doing that up there. But that ain't gonna. It's never gonna end. You know, white folks, like, life's too rough and too short, and people don't want to know about some of the guy's problems. That's what it is, more than anything else.
Some people claim to be so godly and so forthright and upright. I wonder where does that fit into their morality?
I don't know, dude. Thanks for calling. Excuse me. Taquitos for lunch. 1-800-449-8686. What a sick sense of humor that guy had. So it was white rage, and the guy thought he was running over black folks, and turned out he needed a renewal on his prescription for eyeglasses? Jesus. Here's Tony. Hi, Tony. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Heard your show about 3 months ago for the first time and almost spit out my coffee. I was laughing so hard. It's the most unique and entertaining radio show I've heard in years.
Thanks.
You
in Toronto?
Yeah, I'm from Toronto.
Now my folks are from Toronto.
Yeah, yeah, I
heard
that.
Yeah. Now, do you know where Winneva Avenue is?
Winneva.
Yeah, it's off of Queen Street East.
Yep.
And that's where my mother grew up. It's probably a slum now, for all I know.
Oh, it might be the beaches area.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's close down to the beach and
beautiful part of town.
Oh, it is?
Was.
Oh, because generally where your parents grew up is a slum, you know. It was marvelous when I was a boy, and now it's all,
right?
You know, I don't want to say anything
quite
about
our
Jamaican friends.
Yeah, it could possibly be Regent Park area or something, but no, there's
anyway.
Some beautiful parts of town, obviously. I just wanted to say, though, I love the way you're going after the sports figures, and I'd love to hear Bobby and Steve Dooley interview them with you.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be solid. Although Bobby, all she wants to do is have sex with him.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that's all she wants to do. She just wants to slap on the knee pads. Who's the latest guy now? Who's the latest guy, Janice, that we were talking about? There's somebody new today. Chris Webber. Chris Webber's got some problems from the Sacramento Kings. And, dig this. They have a new bunch of stamps coming out with football heroes on them.
Oh, sweet.
You know, what is with the U.S. What's next? Cartoon characters? I would rather see Daffy Duck on a stamp.
It's unbelievable.
You can put on, you can put Daffy Duck, you can put Emmett Kelly, you can put Bozo the Clown, or you can put Walter Camp, doesn't make any difference to me, on a stamp. Why don't we put Charles Manson and John Wayne Gacy on there? What are you talking about, Chris? Are you telling me that professional football players are the same as serial killers? How dare you? Don't you know that these guys are the living end, man? They are the saviors of society. They're role models. Our kids look up to them. Ha, 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 blue, 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 blah, blah, blah. They're going to have stamps coming out with our football heroes on them. Because we need more stuff that honors football heroes. We need more streets named after them, more freeways named after them, more schools named after them. We need them to speak in front of more classes. Hey, teachers, be sure to get a football player to speak in front of your class. Be sure to have him stand there and tell the kids how he came up the rough way, but he made it, and if they did exactly what he did, then they would be exactly what he is, which in about a week's time, the guy's arrested for, like, beating his wife. But what's that between friends? So they have a bunch of stamps coming out with football faces on it. And then next week, they're going to come out with a bunch of stamps that have the faces of famous television animals. So this week, it's the football heroes, and next week, it's Flipper. And then it's going to be Bugs Bunny. And then a week after that, famous circus freaks. Because that's about where it's at. Now, this is what we're giving out stamps to. Hey, by the way, just so I can be clear on this, Robert Johnson was a blues singer. I know you don't know who the hell I'm talking about, but many of you, probably my age, recall a song called Crossroads that was done by Cream. Remember the song Crossroads? All right, that was written by a guy named Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson was featured on a stamp and they airbrushed the cigarette out of his mouth. See, this is a historical picture of Robert Johnson sitting with a guitar and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. When you screw with history like that, it really tightens my jaws. I don't know who these people back at the stamp-producing factory think they are. You keep that butt in his mouth, all right? Some guys are happy with a butt in their mouth. It's none of your business. Just ask the women that put the butt in. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. There would be no Rolling Stones or Cream without Robert Johnson, and the picture of him with a cigarette is the way the guy was photographed and where you guys get off airbrushing it out so you can alter a historical artifact, which is a photograph, is beyond what? What is, in other words, Robert Johnson's a great guy, but there's parts of him that suck, like he smoked, so we don't want you to see that. Hey, while you're on the subject, why don't you make him white? Because that'll really even the thing out, honest to God, it will. Some people are going to reject him simply, oh, there we go, there's another blackie with a freaking guitar. Great, that's all I need. What do we got now, down in the deltas, singing the cotton blues? Here we go.
I'm going to the crossroad, I had my navel in my hand. Wah, 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 wah.
Ah, shut that jungle music off. Now, if you make him white like he's Hank Williams, everything's cool. So be looking for those football hero stamps, because we got to, they made America great. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know where I'm supposed to go next, man. Do you want me to, okay. Three? I ain't got no three, okay. Derek, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
What's going on, Phil?
How are you, sir?
Hey, I got an idea for that old guy to hit those people. I think what they ought to do to him is take him to that euthanasia garden walk thing that one of your guests was talking about a while back.
Now, what was that? Oh, yeah, walk with dignity. I think
the guy jumps out and pops him with a gun.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
I think that's a swell idea,
and
especially
just
for him.
Can we refresh people? Just tell people what that was. It was a character of ours who had a retirement home?
Yeah, it was a special place. There was a nice garden around.
Yeah,
and
when the time came for him to go, he doesn't really know he's going to go. They're just taking him for a walk in a garden, and
he gets a little something to put him under real quick, I guess. A little ether.
And then one of the attendants quickly jumps out from behind a bush and caps him right behind his ear.
If I recall, there was a bow and arrow package as well.
Yes. That's right. You know, if you want, you can get hit with a bow and arrow from like three stories up, man. It's great. Okay.
I think it's genius, but on the other hand, what I really want to hear more of is Chris Norton, because
he was on
him
just a
utterly sassy.
Yeah, he's a sass machine. He was on a few weeks ago. We'll get him back. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Hey, bye. That was sweet. Remember that, guys? The walk with dignity. Guy's just walking through the garden, and the next thing, and there's a dude. Now, yeah, there were three options that you could buy for your loved one. A, you could walk them out of the garden, and then one of those attendants, he looks a little like that dude from Mission Impossible, the big ape with the flat head, comes jumping out with a white smock on, caps the guy behind the ear. Or the second option, a high-powered rifle
from the infirmary, just three floors up. Or then, as the gentleman indicated, the third option, a bow and arrow. Just, why, look at that wonderful... Just, whoa! You know, it's just like right through him. He looks down, he sees the arrow coming out. And the attendant just goes, it's better this way, Mr. Brown. See, these are the sick and sadistic things that you miss if you don't listen to our show on a regular basis. But, good news, R.C. Collins is on the show today. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our website is philhenryshow.com, but the web address, the email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. Every now and again, we get an email that's so laughably, incredibly dumb, or something that's quite remarkable, we throw them away, and we only read the really dull ones. All right, thanks. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Next hour, we're talking about Bambi hunting, identity theft. We'll get into our mailbag. We'll take another walk down memory lane with a Vernon Dozier bit. But what the gentleman was referring to just before we went into our break was a guy by the name of Eric Hester, who operated a Walk with Dignity garden where you could take your elderly parent or elderly relative. And they wouldn't be euthanized in the cruel and cold setting of a Kevorkian. No, you could walk them through a garden and, when they least expect it, shoot them with either a bow and arrow, a high-powered hunting rifle, or just cap them in the back of the head. And as a matter of fact, the guy reminded us of it, so we thought we'd dig it out here on today's Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I have changed too many diapers. I have cleaned and rinsed out too many bedpans. I have mopped up oceans of drool and liver bile. And I can tell you, sir, I would much rather put a bullet in their head than have to do that again, and they would much rather I do it. You would not want your son to dispatch you.
Phil, I have no comment.
You don't want your son dispatching you with a laser-sighted hunting rifle.
Listen, Phil, let me say something else.
Let me answer that. No, I would not.
What if you wore antlers?
No, I wouldn't care if I wore antlers.
Phil, here's a comment, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Remember this. Dr. Kevorkian had everybody that he ever killed.
Oh, here we go with Dr. Kevorkian.
He had consent of everybody. He has been convicted of murder. Okay, that's another comment.
What about the bar of soap and lampshades? You guys haven't commented on that. Why?
I think that's pretty sick is why I haven't commented on that. But regardless, and another thing...
Yeah, I had to get sick, too, because I just went on a website. Governor, that's what the Nazis did.
Well, we had a couple of good
ideas. The governor...
Boy.
If the governor... Listen to this. If the governor consents to this, he, in my opinion, and I'm sure the dental lawyer's opinion, will be also a party to murder if he does this.
All right, Barney Fife, but remember, you're not an attorney.
There's no need to insult him by calling him Barney Fife.
Well, he's not a lawyer, is he?
You know something?
You're not a lawyer, are you?
A small-minded person that he is cannot insult me, because if you think that you're right by this, then you have a very small mind, and I know where you'll be if you do something like this.
Robert, are your parents elderly?
My parents are not as old as what you're making that comment.
A day can come, Robert, when you and your parents could get together. Don't you think it would be a beautiful moment for yourself and your parents if you let your parents give them a running head start? And
Wait. Are you going to talk about shooting your parents?
Let me tell you something. There's not a day. There's not a day in this world where I see me ever doing anything such as that.
But what if there's...
If I thought that you were going to do something like that to my parents, I know what I would do to you, and I know how I would suffer.
I'm saying...
Irregardless, you are a sick
individual. We are in a wonderful
era. And if you break the law, you will be punished, I'm sure of that.
Well, Robert, you could walk out into a beautiful clearing in the woods with your own parents. Just tell them to get going. Give them a head start.
Why don't you do this? And I hate to say this.
And we do have a bow and arrow. We do have a bow and arrow package.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you go ahead and walk out in that field and let somebody do that to you? Because we don't think that you are going to do that to any of our parents.
Why would I do
that? Go ahead and do that.
Why would I do that? I'm 39 years old.
I think I know why you should do it. To give you a taste of your own medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bar of soap and lampshades.
Well, I saw it in a movie.
Yeah, that's great.
I will say this, Robert. There's nothing more beautiful than to give your parents a running head start and draw down on them with a laser-sighted...
Yeah, that's fine. The guy knew I was going to hang up, so he starts talking really fast.
Phil, if you pick the bow and arrow package, you get a free T-shirt. So
yeah, okay. I've heard some sickness. What?
Can I tell you about the April Fool's special?
Where? At your garden walk of life?
Yes, on April 1st, you allow your elderly parent to walk through our garden, and one of our staff sneaks up on them, pops a fully inflated balloon next to their head, and scares them to death. Now, one of the things...
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold!
There he is. That's Eric Hester, sounding a lot like me, doesn't he? And that is the garden walk of life. I particularly like the April Fool's special, don't you? Pop the balloon next to their head. You know, I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. And I don't care what radio show you listen to. It don't get funnier than that. It just doesn't get any funnier than that. Now, your taste may vary, and you like Biffy and Boffo, and you think Joey and Ash, they're funny on Y90 Million, or whatever station crap you listen to. In talk radio, that's it for me. We do the funniest show there is. I don't care who you are or what you think. That's just the facts. And that's why I have had a change of heart about Mel Gibson's new movie, Passion, a Bloodbath. I think, you know, remember I said I thought it was Mel Gibson just playing with himself? I think it's a great idea, Mel. He's got Jesus getting crucified and tortured, and it's full of violence, and you don't understand a word of it because it's in Aramaic, and he hasn't... The best part is, he refuses to show it to any studio head. He's showing it to priests and rabbis, getting their input on it. And last but not least... His father is some kind of a whack job anti-Semite. What is up with this father of his? What's his name? Clem Gibson or something? Hutton Gibson. He's some Jew hater. The whole story is nuts. The whole story is wrong, and the whole story is non-traditional. Why wouldn't we like something like that, since we're a non-traditional radio show? So I have decided that we're going to give away tickets to the screening of the Mel Gibson film. And I know he won't give me any because he's going to think it's some goofy radio station stunt, and he won't even. But I am being very sincere. I'd like passes to this movie, and I want to give them away. I'd even like to sponsor a screening of it. Call him up, Chris. Tell him that we don't mean anything. We're not trying to goof him, nothing. Let's just see if these people understand that we appreciate, from one non-traditional artist to another, I appreciate Mr. Gibson. I'd like to have drinks with him. I'd like to sit down and just pick his brain. I'd like to show him some of my ideas. In fact, I have a script that I've written. It would be nice if you just maybe give me a...
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Johnny Depp, Kobe Bryant, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But first this. Have you been reading or have you heard? I'm sure by now you've heard. It was on the homepage at Fox News, CNN. There are some enterprising chaps in Las Vegas who will allow you, for the price of $10,000, to hunt with a paintball naked women. You're out in the wild, you're out in the desert. Now, this is fact, and I'm sure you've read about it. People who are obsessed with perverted sex, such as
Bill O'Reilly,
they talk about it an awful lot on their shows. And so here's the thing, man, and I don't know if you've heard about it, but I'm being very honest. I'm not kidding. Just look it up on any website. Check it out in the newspaper if you want. And it's 10 G's. 10 G's, you get a paintball, and you go out into the wild, and you're shooting the paintball at these naked chicks that are running away from you. These naked women that are running away from you. And, of course, I read this story, and I know immediately
I know absolutely immediately the firestorm that follows this kind of thing, which is it's degrading to women, it's degrading to men, it further alienates the sexes, it further objectifies women, it further reinforces the violent image of men, and on and on and on it goes. But if you think about it, you got another story I'm talking about. Should I even be opening the hour with this? Because it's really, I found it fascinating. If you think about this, just think about this, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. This hunting women with paintball guns, naked women, is the average man's attempt at achieving a kind of sexual union that he doesn't have the guts to ask his girlfriend or wife for. Now, here's what I'm gonna propose. I'm not proposing it. I'm telling you this is what it is. It ain't about violence, and it ain't about bondage, and it ain't about domination. First of all, what's the main target of any man holding a paintball gun, aiming at a naked woman? What's the main target? You know, it'd be interesting to find out what the answer would be. As a matter of fact, right now, I'll go ahead and jam these lines up with calls. I'm not going to tell you what the main target is. I'm going to see if you guys are right. Nah, why take phone calls? These clowns will just mess it up. You know what you're thinking out there. Now I'm going to give you the answer. The main target is her ass. Excuse my French, but that's exactly where he's going to shoot her. In fact, that's the only real place you should shoot her if you're of any... if you have any humanity at all, you're certainly not going to aim for a woman's breasts because it's a very painful, it can be extremely painful to hit her with a paintball there. There's a lot of lymph nodes up there. There's a lot of nerve endings up there. It's bad, and it could be injurious. You're not going to aim for her head. Any cat, in other words, you're going to find out an awful lot about a guy where he shoots a woman, a naked woman, with a paintball. But I believe the number one target is going to be her rear end. It's sexy to splatter her butt with a paintball there, A, and B, it's the closest most guys are ever going to come, most of the guys that go up there to do that, it's the closest they're ever going to come to a particular sexual act that, as I said, they don't have the guts to ask their girlfriend or their wife about. You hit them, by the way, if you hit them on the breast, they hunch over. You hit them on the rear end, they jump up and run away, so it's more sport. Now, moving along, of course I'm kidding. But this is this sport, I was looking at it, and I said, well, good. Hey, that's real good, guys. Thanks a lot for that, man. Right as we're just sort of climbing out of the prehistoric cage that we were thrown into, we're just animals, now we're going to go right back into it, hunting naked women with paintball guns. And it goes right to every knee-jerk reaction that any woman would have, and that is that it's objectifying us as sex objects. Well, yes, of course it does, and I can't, and I'm going to have to, look, I gotta be honest with you. If you're a female, you're going to have to know this one. I think most women know this, but I guess there's a lot of women that don't. We do objectify you at times as sex objects. We have objectified you at times as sex objects, and we will continue to do that no matter what you say, no matter what you do, and it isn't because we hate you. It's quite frankly, because we love you. I know it doesn't make sense, and I know you think it's coming from a knothead who doesn't get it. I don't get it, right, man? I don't quite understand how the whole sexual politics and psychology... Look at this, they got it on TV right now. This guy nailed her in the rear end. Now, some of these guys are sadistic because they got on, like, camouflage, and this girl's running away from the guy. But it's a paintball. You're not allowed to hit them from the neck up. Everywhere else, I think, is fair game. Right, Janice? But I honestly believe any man that would hit a woman with a paintball anywhere other than her rear end is a sick, twisted bastard who should be shot at sunrise. So therefore, honest to God, man. But that's going to be the main place to aim anyway, because that is the fascination that most men... That is the taboo fascination that most men still have and still yearn to somehow explore. And the only way they're going to be able to do it is spent for most guys, because they don't have, the guts to ask the girlfriend or the wife about it. They're going to have to go up to Vegas, spend 10 G's, and, like, somehow imagine it with a paintball gun. And all the other stuff,
all the other stuff. Objectifying her as a sex object. The dehumanization of men and women. The violence, the this, the that, it doesn't play into it at all. It has nothing whatsoever to do with it. I'm just warning you, you're going to hear this story, it's going to be on the news, there's going to be controversy. Just remember what I told you. Just remember what I told you. This ain't got nothing to do with any of that, other than guys that, you know, it's the closest they're ever really going to get to anything truly intimate with a woman's rear end. Hitting her with a paintball. Imagine a cat that goes out hunting a naked woman with a paintball gun and aims for her breasts. Twisted, and also a man not too familiar with women. Or, if he is, he don't like them too much. Any guy that aims for the breasts, right away they gotta pull him off the range. He's a sick, freaking weird creep. And if you really want to be mean, and these guys go out there with frozen paintballs, that's also sick. Now, where else? Are you going to hit her in the stomach? Hit her in the back? There's only one place. There's only one place, and there's only one place that can take it. You got it. So that's the story. It's out of Vegas. These guys are going to make a nice piece of change in the short run, and then it's going to become a little silly. And I think once guys get out there and realize what it is they're doing, they're probably not going to want to do it. And most of the guys that are jumping into it right now are probably, they probably belong behind the jail, not just behind the bars, but under the jail. $10,000, you can hunt a woman with a paintball. Yeah, I'm for that. I just got out. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. A lot of news coming out today that masturbating is healthy, especially for men in their 20s, because it keeps you from getting prostate cancer. And that means I'm going to get prostate cancer because the Catholic Church said it was a sin, so I didn't do it in my 20s. So now I'm going to get cancer. Thank you very much, Pope John Paul. The medical news is here. Masturbation in your 20s could help you keep from getting prostate cancer. I was told it was a mortal sin, wasn't I? Yes, I was. I didn't do it. Now I'm going to die. Thanks a lot. Anything else in the Baltimore Catechism you want to lay on me? You got to be kidding me, man. Who do I go to talk to about that? Who do I go to talk to about that? You tell me it's a mortal sin. Now I find out if I did more of it, I won't die a slow, painful death with tubes coming out of my nose. Well, remember, God will welcome you. Oh, isn't that just fine? Plus, I could have gone to confession and just, or what they're calling now reconciliation, said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I masturbated in my 20s because I didn't want cancer. Well, I'm sorry, you're still going to burn, son. Oh, come on, give me a break, will you? 5 Hail Marys for our fathers. Give me a break! By the way, one of the popes died from prostate cancer. Now, he did. 1-800-449-8686. There I am. I'm going to be in heaven. Speaking of paintballs, you ever seen a huge set of blue balls? Now then, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Disney has announced that they're going to do a sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean if Johnny Depp does an OD on paint or Glade before then. So that's great. If Johnny can keep his nose out of a paint can and keep from sucking down enough PCP to murder, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of normal actors, they're going to get out there and do a sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, that's a shock, isn't it? A sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean.
So anyway, masturbation will help help you keep from getting what you know. It's I'm keeping these late nights, man. It'll keep you from getting prostate cancer. And who was the guy that tested that theory? Dr. Johnson, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. It's been going up 50 days now, okay? Yeah, you're looking a little bad. Can I get out of here? All right, enough with the penthouse. I don't want to see him anymore. Just let me out of the room. Let me out of the room. No, we have to see what effect it has on the prostate. Now, here's some more stuff. Now, high society, I saw this one. And no, I don't want the transsexual issue. Get out of here with this! So anyway, Johnny Depp says we're go for a sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean if I can keep from huffing spot remover. You know, I mention huffing spot remover a lot, don't I? You want to know why? Friends of mine, not me, but friends of mine when I was very young did it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, very dear friends of mine who grew up to become great broadcasters. And I, again, Bill O'Reilly, you're doing great, man. For a guy that came from just sticking your nose in a paint thinner can, you are doing great. Don't you think he is? And look how far Michael Savage came. From the days when I'd see him around the block with his face in a can of paint, now he's like the big, he's the big noise. Even though he's a self-hating Jew, he's a great guy. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How
good.
You doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I just, you know what? What's wrong with masturbation, you know? I mean, it cuts down on the rape. You know, why not enjoy yourself? You know, if you can't do that, then what is the problem there?
That's true. And I'd like to thank Pope John Paul for calling in. Now, nothing wrong with it, brother. That's what I was saying. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it helps you stay healthy. You won't get prostate cancer. It's just that I happen to be Catholic. I'm not allowed. Better to die of cancer than to, I don't know, commit a mortal sin. So, and I did. I remember confessing that as a kid. I did. I went in as a kid. I confessed it to the priest. It was the most disgusting and degrading thing I ever did as a kid. I'm like, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I did an impure act. And son, what happened? What did you do? I'll never forget the priest. Did you touch yourself, son? yes, sir. And did anything happen, son? You know, he asked some specific. Yeah, it did. And now, at this point, I'm regretting ever having been born. At this point, I don't even want to be Catholic anymore. You know that the body is the temple of God, and he went into that whole rap, and I'm like, what the? I'm never going to go back in there again. It sucked. What the hell was I saying this for? And it turns out I have never done it. I was doing it wrong. What I thought I was doing, it wasn't even what I was doing. I was actually, it turned out I was waxing the hair off my thigh. I didn't know. And Phil, what were you wearing when you did that?
Well, Father, I was wearing a slight thong. Why do you, I don't understand why you're asking me that.
I'd like to keep my files regular.
1-800-449-8686. Max, how you doing?
Good, yourself.
Good, man.
Good. Is there anything I can specifically comment on, or does it have
anything
to be
anything you
want to
do? Anything you got to say? Okay. Anything that's anything is
right.
You know, just do it. Just do it. Get it said and get out of here. Just go.
All
boom
right.
Down.
Regarding that racial thing you were talking about, how black. So I think you were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday and today, because I got an email from a guy who. He believes that slavery should still be around, you know.
Oh,
he thinks that they're
right,
only good for one thing, basketball and raping concierges, and that's it.
No, well, what I find is that I think we should look at all past racial things that have happened instead of just looking at one and then saying that, hey, we should not forget about that, and we should continue to provide affirmative action, et cetera. I mean, if we're going to provide...
Yeah, that's really great, man. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Dude, I can't handle that. I can't give, you know, affirmative action. Yeah, you're right. It all blows. The whole race thing never should have happened. Some guy had the bright idea needed to get cotton picked, and he brought up all the darkies from Africa, and now look where we are. I got another video on TV, some guy getting the crap kicked out of him by some cops. Who knows? Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. What did he say? He said, she said. He's a guy. He got the crap kicked out of him. He's sitting there with his lawyer now. They're going to sue the cops in Ohio. I guess they're going to lose their ass on this one. And I don't, is he a criminal? Maybe not. Is he an innocent man? Perhaps he is. Is he a criminal? Maybe he is. Is he an innocent man? Perhaps he's not. And is this the way cops are supposed to take people down? And is it not the way they're supposed to take them down? And is it by the book? Is it not by the book? And can we get a trial going? And can we look at the Ohio Police Department manual on how to kick the crap out of a crackhead? How, you know, what are you supposed to say? It doesn't look good, man, but then I'm not a cop. I've seen videotapes of black officers treating suspects the same way. So it ain't about race, it's about cops, you know? It's about cops. Because I think they're all of the same mindset when they got some guy that is pissing them off or otherwise is giving them a hard time. There could be black officers, white officers. They're going to beat the crap out of this guy. This guy can go down the wrong road just as fast as any white cop. So what am I doing? Am I now kind of turning tail here and making it seem like a problem that is non-racial so that I can sort of bail the white cops out? I don't know, and it's not my intention. All I know is I can't look at a videotape anymore and think I know what the hell it is I'm looking at. Because the Rodney King thing now, yeah, I mean, what they did to that guy sucked. But those guys went into prison swearing it was by the book. All of those cops in the LAPD that beat the hell out of Rodney King went into the joint swearing on their mother that what they did was by the book, Los Angeles Police Department procedure, how you deal with a crackhead, etc. And then, of course, members of the black community say, well, then how come that's how you deal with, like, motorists who have a speeding ticket, too? Because I got that same treatment last week. By the book behavior of all black motorists, according to the LAPD, is to knock the hell out of their head, man. Just take that big Babe Ruth swing at their skull, man. Just boom. I don't know. I'll tell you this much, though. I'm going to say this. If I were born black, not white, I was born white. If I were born black, I'd be in jail today. I would not be on the air. I would be in a jail cell because I would not be able to swallow half the stuff that a lot of people have to swallow in this society. And how do I know? Because I'm around white people all the time, and they aren't going to tell me that this is not a racist nation when I listen to half the crap that Whitey is laying on me when he didn't think any black people are around. And I'd wind up swinging on somebody. I'd probably wind up beating up a cop or getting my own ass kicked or killing somebody or something. My life would not have progressed as far as it has, which is not very far at all, were I an African-American, because I would have wound up losing my temper and just hauling off and breaking a chair over somebody's head. And I would be inside right now. I'd have all kinds of tats. I would be homosexual. I would be getting good at license plates. I don't know. You know, they'd have me, I'd be in crafts, arts and crafts. And I would be voted best prisoner of the year, and I'd be on Right a Prisoner, right alongside Susan Smith. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know what I find amusing? It's really amusing about, it's not even a campaign, just my interest, my sudden and sincere and highly focused interest in professional athletes and even college athletes. You know what it's generated? It has generated disbelief. Because of all the guys in society that can screw up, whether it be felony crime, whether it be something stupid, whether it be something stupid they said, of all the guys in society, the only people that people rush to protect, the average guy rushes to protect, is the athlete. I mean, I got people making excuses left and right. Left and right for these guys. Oh, what's the big deal? The guy hit the hot dog with a bat. You're right, it ain't that big of a deal, but guess what? I think I'm going to make it a big deal. I think I'm going to make the guy's life tough. You want to know why? Because nobody has up to this point. A ball player acts rude, acts stupid, acts like a slob, acts in a manner, in other words, that you would not teach your children to act. And he's got 5 million guys in the press box and 86 guys in the media relations department making it okay. You don't have to worry about talking to bad press. We'll just pretend like it was all that stupid broad's fault in the hot dog suit. And hey, after all she wants is the bat. Fine, he's going to keep going. He's going to play ball. And he's going to make his millions. He's still a
P-word. Did you dump it?
Yeah. Let me say it again. I wouldn't walk across the street to tinkle on him. But then we move on to the case of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got a guy on their, you know, like all professional teams do, they got a guy on their payroll who ran into his wife's car with his Hummer, his wife and daughter. Maybe you've heard his name, Michael Pittman. Doesn't matter. See, they're athletes. They're allowed to do that. Oh, sure, the court deals with them. The court deals with them, but the team goes out of its way to make sure that the image of the team is not tarnished, and that it's really, well, we sure hope he gets his life together, and man, we really support him, but we don't really support what he did, and of course we would never, and blah, 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 blah. And now this guy is getting, this guy Pittman is going to be able to go to Japan. What, do they got a ball game going over there? So he's going to get to go to Japan, even though they're still trying to figure out whether it was a probation violation. And the, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, we've faxed them countless times, and they're too cool to return our faxes because, after all, they're the Super Bowl winning team. I got a big news flash for anybody from the Bucs that's listening. You ready for this? Because you guys aren't going to like it. On the overall scale of importance in life, you guys, you might as well be working for the circus. See, that's how important you guys are. You might as well be working for the circus cleaning up elephant dung. Okay, so I know you think you're hot stuff, and yeah, you know,
we don't allow any reporters at the practice, and you're going to have to fax us an interview request.
You cats are a joke. You cats are a joke. Yeah, okay, man, we'll fax the interview request, all right? We want to talk to Michael Pittman, and I ain't going to ask him about the Super Bowl year, and I ain't going to ask him about his athletics. I ain't going to ask him about... I'm going to ask him why he's an idiot. That'll be my first question. Michael, why are you a colossal jackass? You got any answers for me on that one? He'll hang up on me, and that'll be the end of the interview, right? And we'll keep at it and keep going. See? I'll submit my question in advance of the interview, Tampa Bay. What do you think of that? Here's my question. Why is Michael Pittman an unmitigated jackass, and how come you idiots at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers employ him? How come you hire people like that and then turn them loose on society? I just want to know. That's all. And then you can go back to sweeping up the elephant turds. Because you can wear a skull and crossbones on your helmet, and you can put a gun to the head of the city or the county or whoever you stuck the gun to the head of to build that ballpark. And you can steal the tax money of people, and you can crap all over the needs of school kids and building your big pirate ship. Okay? But you still are no better than some guy that is, rolling with snakes out there in the sawdust, man. You might as well have a top hat on and some tight pants. You already got the tight pants, might as well put on the top hat. You guys are in the circus business. You just have a different kind of performance that you put on. You might as well be a bunch of little girls out there playing gymnastics. As a matter of fact, the average 15-year-old female gymnast has more courage in her little finger than anybody in the National Football League, save perhaps the Tillman brothers. The Tillman brothers have got some balls going on there. But the average 15-year-old gymnast doing flips and twists on a sawhorse in front of 16,000 screaming people, the slightest mismaneuver and you break your neck or your back, that kid's got more guts than the average player in the National Football League. Don't get me wrong, I love football. I love to watch it. I can't wait. I got my DirecTV package and everything. But I know what I'm looking at. I know what I'm looking at, man. So you guys get back to the business of putting on the grease paint and the big round, the big red nose, man, that goes honk, honk when you squeeze it. And we'll keep sending our faxes. And you cats just keep deluding yourselves into thinking you're important. And I'll keep deluding myself into thinking that I'm important. Okay? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And again, I submit my question in advance. Why did you hire this scumbag? Why do you turn him loose on society? Why won't you answer for it? And just because I don't have any respect for you doesn't mean you don't have to talk to me. I'm just not going to say, I'm not going to nose around your jockstrap like every other sports writer, every other broadcaster, and just about every other guy that does a talk show would do. See, I'm not going to be your buddy. I ain't going to call you by your nickname. I ain't going to be all buddy-buddy with everybody in the media relations department and kiss your ass. I'm done with that, man. I'm 30 years in this business. I have played that out, man. I am through. I'm just going to treat you the way you want to be treated. I'm telling you, I want an interview with this slob. Now, you give it to me, or I'm going to keep on bugging you about it. Okay? And then I may not come and eat the peanuts and throw them on the ground so your elephants can eat them. Say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when are they bringing their big top into town, huh? When those cats run out onto the field, you might as well be seeing midgets running out of a little tiny taxi cab dressed in grease paint. It's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. It's the same effect. It's the same. It has the same importance. We are only taking phone calls for another 16 minutes. I suggest you get them in now. 1-800-449-8686. Jason, hi.
Hello. Oh, I'm Robin Leach. Not really. Just yeah. One of my things.
Yeah,
listen, I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks.
I have a couple of things to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
About the paintball gun stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm in here in Florida, and I don't know if you know Schnitt, the Schnitt Show. Well, one of the girls that was people.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
I'm sorry about that show, too.
That's okay. I'll get to clue you in real quick.
Sorry, it
was a scam. The whole thing was a scam. It was true that there were women that put on, you know.
It's a scam. I mean, nobody's really doing it?
No.
Okay. Well, then, Chris, make a note. I want to go into business with a paintball shooting chicks in the ass, okay?
No, I don't
apparently
know.
Apparently, they weren't serious about it. Yeah?
But, she's going to be in tomorrow morning, which I am dying to listen to his show tomorrow morning to find out exactly all the details.
Can't wait to hear it.
But I'm
all right,
a really big...
A The Snitch Show. Did you hear about it? You don't want to know. It's ugly. 1-800-449-8686. Apparently, it's not funny. All right, here is Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
I was calling about what you were saying about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I agree that what they shouldn't employ the Pittman anymore because of what he did. But, on the other hand, you said that...
Yeah, fire them all.
Well... why should they fire him if they don't do anything wrong?
They
what problem are they causing if they're not doing anything wrong?
They should fire every last one of them. Start all over again with a new gene pool.
They should fire everybody at Uranium.
No, they
just
should. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding about that. But I believe that it is. I honestly believe this. They need to be far more forthcoming with us when it comes to these guys. They need to answer some straight questions from the press instead of all of this jock sniffing that they're getting. Cat like Pittman, nobody's got the balls to ask him the question, why are you an idiot? Why do you disgrace your team? Why did you do that to your wife and kid? Why doesn't anybody ask these questions? Instead, it's this. Hey, Michael, this problem you're having, is that going to affect your ability to run for 185 yards this weekend? And have the police, you know, who cares? They're just so afraid of stepping on their toes. They're so afraid of pissing them off. They're so afraid of just, ooh, man, maybe I won't get my press pass to the game this weekend and sit up in the press box and eat all their roast beef. Nobody asks these questions anymore. Every single solitary sports journalist, with the exception of maybe Jim Gray, is a softball-loving lightweight, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I understand. But
tell me a guy you like. I mean, who's a hard interviewer in sports?
A good guy in sports is a good interviewer?
Yeah, a good hard interviewer. I'm not talking about some cat that's going to sit there with the piano music going, Michael Pittman was born in 1975 to a, you know, I mean a good
hard... I tell you who's a good hard interviewer. That guy will ask anybody on the planet.
No, but I mean in the world of sports, man. There's nobody in sports. There's no one in sports. And I'm talking about being a part
of that establishment, which I personally think he is. He's a part of that entertainment establishment. I'm talking about somebody being on the outside looking in.
I don't know. I don't know that many sports reporters.
Well, you just met one here. I'm the guy that's going to do it for you, Sean. Stick with me, kid, all right? And Burlington, Vermont, huh? All right, 1-800-449-8686. How's that for an out? Burlington, Vermont, huh? Our email address, by the way, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let's go to the mailbag for just a second here. Phil, we must strike a nerve, we anti-war folks. You even belched right after reading my email on Monday, an act usually reserved for your characters. I'm honored. Later in the show, you staged another tirade calling us sanctimonious for insisting on the truth why Bush went to war. When you go off like that, you sound like the radio blowhards you castigate. Talk about sanctimony. Peace, Chris in Portland. Here's another guy that writes about, sorry, Phil, you stand corrected. You are completely wrong about the Hells Angels not being arrested as an organization. A few weeks ago, the Hells Angels Club was raided and everyone arrested for being involved with the Arellano Felix Mexican drug cartel in drug trafficking, distribution, and several other crimes, including murder. The Hells Angels organization is directly related to international drug organizations. That has been common knowledge, I should say, for years. Get your facts straight. And yourself back into the real world instead of your fantasy world of make-believe. Reuben.
Ark.
All right. Thank you very much. And, of course, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. I'm sorry, but I teach my daughter how to say words when she belches. And she's doing words like, you know, Chevrolet now. Honest to God, she's 11, and my daughter can belch out Chevrolet and just amazing things. You know, it's like, you know, Osama bin Laden. It just comes belching out at breakfast. It's childish. It's juvenile. But you know what? It bonds us as father and daughter. So somebody got a problem with that? Huh? Huh? Somebody want to step up to the plate on that one? Or is being close to my kid no good? No time for the flashback? All right, that's good. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, Chris Webber of the Sacramento Kings, he apparently lied and he took money. And there's a couple of other things. The Kobe Bryant thing we're going to continue to follow. And people are asking, did he do it? Didn't he do it? What is it that he did? Did he rape her? Did he not? Was it just sex? If it was just sex, that's cool, right? Well, the guy is married, but I know that with athletes, that doesn't count. He is married. He does have a kid. And if you're asking, am I the moral judge? Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm the moral judge. See, athletes get to be targets, too, in a real sense, not just in a phony baloney sense, where you're just sort of taking a shot at them because they don't play good, or because they're black, or because they're tall and black. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop at philhendryshow.com has all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Serviced right there, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, our shot glasses, our coasters from Ted's of Beverly Hills, as well as the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug and T-shirts and hats and our rain pouch jackets. We also have our black and white coffee and latte mug from our Phil Hendry collection. If you go into the Bobby Dooley store, you're going to find a beautiful polo shirt and the Spa at Western Estates robe. All there at www.philhendryshow.com, including the great Best Of CD that we've got. This year called World Famous. It's a two CD set, and the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Greg, go ahead. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Tim. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good.
Tim, good, man.
Hey, I don't mean to change the subject matter too much, but every time you have a call about your favorite show, I'd never get through.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you how I started listening to you. Like about 7 years ago, I'm on my way to work. I can only get 640 over here around Modesto at nighttime.
Right.
And I think it was Jeff Dowder was the owner of a health club, and he said how he installed cameras all around the health club.
Right.
And even in the bathrooms and by the toilets and everything. I was so excited to get to work. And I ran into the building and jumped on the computer because you gave away an internet address. And me and the guys at work must have spent 2 or 3 hours trying every which way we could to rework this internet address that I thought I heard, trying to find those live webcams.
Oh, because they were, yeah. That was a guy. It was right after some security problem they were having at a health club, but this guy decided. And this was in advance of some of these health clubs getting into trouble. But he had what he called the ass cam.
Yeah,
which he stuck right in the bottom of the toilet.
Yeah. That's it.
And he just wanted to protect people. And then he said he was posted the pictures. Yeah. Sorry you wasted all that time, but
yeah,
hey, look at that.
All that time, I still didn't get it, though. It took me till the next night when I forget her name, but the little black, the old black lady librarian that was talking about how kids would bring back the library books damaged, and she'd tell them that they're never going to see their mommy and daddy again. Before I realized it was a joke.
There you go, dude. Thank you, Tim. Nice to have you with us. Thank you. All right, we got R.C. Collins ahead. R.C. Collins talking about how our troops in Iraq are chickening out. It's a Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We follow the events in Iraq, all of us, and some more closely than others, perhaps. We have on the line Cadet R.C. Collins. He is attending Bradley Military Academy. It's in Altadena, California. And Cadet Collins, you and the other classmates of yours have been watching the news from Iraq very intently, because I know that it is your desire, as it is the desire of your classmates, to eventually become members of the military and perhaps have the opportunity to serve in Iraq or in another theater of war?
Absolutely, sir. We are, we've been following the developments in Iraq, and we do feel, despite some public opinion, things are going good, but we feel they should be going better, and that's one of the purposes of the email that we sent to a variety of the media today.
And you were taking exception to what?
Well, the word came through, they need more troops, and some of the soldiers over there, this is difficult for me to say, but I think some of the soldiers over there look like they're losing their nerve. I seen one picture of a soldier who was crying, and I don't think there's anything more of a disgrace to the United States military than some guy crying for his mama. You know, because it's getting too hot for them. Soldiers are supposed to be dirty, and soldiers are supposed to be tired. That's on account of the wars that they fight. But the soldiers that we have over there right now, Mr. Hendry, a lot of them are crying for their moms and everything like that. And I say this with the greatest of respect and the greatest love for my country, but it's disgusting.
All right, you're referencing news that certain members of the 3rd Infantry Division were upset that they're not going home right away.
Well, frankly, if I might interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I think the guys that we got over there right now are embarrassing, and again, these guys are nerve cases, and in the military, that's not a good thing to call somebody.
What, are you calling them cowards?
Let me just say they're nerfed.
No, say it flat out. Are you calling the men that are serving over there right now who are complaining about the long tour of duty cowards?
I would say that if the shoe fits, wear it.
But that's not answering my question.
If the shoe fits, wear it, sir. That's. I mean, all I'm saying is...
All right, then the answer is in the affirmative, right?
You know, I would say that a guy who goes over to Iraq and then he's crying about... And they also had the guy's wives on, and they were crying, too. I mean, it was a disgrace, I think, up and down in any way, shape, and form. And
all right, the answer to my question, though, is you feel these men are cowards.
Sir, if you were to press me for an answer, I'd have to say affirmative. Yes, sir.
That the United States military, that the soldiers on the ground in Iraq right now are behaving cowardly.
Yes, they are. When you allow yourself to be photographed crying for your mommy, and then your wife's on TV, a big tub, big fat woman with babies and everything all bawling about it. And keep in mind, a man goes to Iraq, you know, he'll get scared and everything else. Then they show your wife on TV how fat and she's not much to come home to. I'd be crying if I had to come home. I wouldn't be crying on account I couldn't come home. I'd cry if they said, you know, Captain Collins, your orders has come in. Get on the next chopper out. I'd cry. So I'd much rather be serving my country in Iraq than being complaining about it.
All right, well, the news story says, and when you say crying, where did you see that?
They got a picture of a guy in USA Today rubbing his eyes all, you know, crying for his mommy. Soldiers are supposed to be dirty, and soldiers are supposed to be tired. And
all right, let me ask you this. I'm going to give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you guys saw the news story, there are, you know, soldiers complaining about not being able to get home right away. There are family members complaining about it. And you are saying, Cadet Collins, that they are cowards. And
sir, you pressed me for the word.
Yeah, well, that's what you're saying, though. Okay, so my question to you is this. If you were over there, what would you do?
If I were over there, sir, I'd finish the job. No whining to my mama. And a lot of these guys, first of all, I think you have to have a three-step program when you go to Iraq. Number one, and we learned this in the military academy, we learned this my freshman year, I learned this. I don't know how this got flushed out of their head year over there. You go in with a clear mission, you attack the enemy, and you destroy the enemy. And if that means holding a bayonet to even innocent civilians, even though it's against the war crimes laws of the world, you got to get the job done. And you,
what are you talking about? Killing civilians?
I'm saying just get the job. Better them than me. Better them than me.
All right. What's number two?
Number two, you recon the situation. You factor in all possibilities. You make sure that everybody has gotten rest. If anybody needs to take a nap or anything, or make sure everyone has enough to drink and eat. Number three, when all else fails, rip the head off the enemy. This is what we say in the military, Mr. Hendry, and I think this is what the GIs over there right now is missing. I'm going to go with, if I went to Iraq, you want to know what I would do?
Yeah, what?
I'd rip the head off the enemy, take down my pants, and crap down their neck. And I know that it sounds crude, and I know that it sounds crude. But that's what the Army teaches you, and that's what you do.
R.C. Collins is with us. You are not old enough to serve in the military, though.
Well, if I had my way, sir, and we already have petitioned both the Commandant and we've petitioned Secretary Rumsfeld, which we're hoping that our messages will get through. We definitely want to go. We're hoping that the U.S. military will make an exception. I would go today. And at least allow me with honor to replace that soldier who I seen in the newspaper crying for his mama. And I would like to do that. And the only thing that I would ask, and this is just a personal thing because most of the guys want to go 100%, is my father has asked me if I would help him at the plant next year. But if that is not necessary, I'll go to Iraq.
Your father has asked you to help at what plant? Is this his...
This is his business in Northern California.
Oh, all right. So in other words, if you have to go to work for your father, you don't want to go to Iraq?
Well, my father has a business, Mr. Hendry, that's worth quite a bit of money. So I'm sure, you know, given the choice. But again, I want to go over to Iraq, even if it's to take the place of this guy that's going, I'm sad and everything, and I think it's disgraceful.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number of the Phil Henry Show. Talking with R.C. Collins, you probably, if you jumped into the middle of this, there's a little bit of controversy going on in the newspaper today. Some of the guys over in Iraq are complaining about their long tour of duty. They've been over there since, whatever it is, March. A lot of them thought they were going home in August. Some thought they were going home in September. The word is now they're going to keep them on indefinitely, and they have been vocal to the press as well.
And if I could, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
That's the other thing that's disgraceful, talking to the press. I would definitely have the guy that did that standing tall before the man.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
My question is have you been in the military?
I'm right now in the military academy at Altadena, California.
I've spent 6 years active duty, 2 years during the reserves, and I was eligible to be called up during the first Gulf War.
Semper Fi.
Until you have been in the military, until you have experienced these things actively, firsthand, you have no idea.
Well, are you going to be on TV crying about it? Yeah.
I don't know. If I was over there, I might. It's human nature.
Well, I can tell you this much, sir. As you know, questioning the orders of the superior officer is court-martiable.
Under certain circumstances, yes.
Yeah.
When that commanding officer puts you into a hazardous situation, orders you to do something that is specifically unsafe, then you might have grounds.
You're...
There are proper channels for that.
Are you
but
kidding
until
me?
Until you have experienced this...
Are you kidding me? You're chickening out, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Wait a minute. Okay, this gentleman had actual practical combat experience.
Well, it doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds like he got over to the Gulf War, crapped his pants, turned around, got back on the plane.
No, that is not the case.
I'll bet you it is.
Wait a minute.
Don't insult this man. Hear his story.
I'll bet you it is.
Go ahead, Tom.
I spent 6 years active duty, received an Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal for action specifically in the Persian Gulf.
The man's decorated.
Decorated with toilet paper.
As you may recall, there were several jet hijackings during the mid-80s. I was in the Mediterranean for sea for that, including we were out at sea for 120 days. We were supposed to pull into port and got turned around that
well,
night.
Did you shoot anybody or kill anybody? No.
All
these guys want to do is be attached to their mom's boob and keep being attached to her.
Wait a minute, kid. Do you understand do you understand how odd it is to have you telling this man what it's all about? He's been in the theater of operations. He's been in a war.
Well, I understand that, but something inside of me just tightens up. Something inside of me says vomit when I see a guy in the newspaper crying for his mama.
All right, Tom.
I really have nothing else to say.
Thank you, sir.
The kid needs to learn and needs to join the military if he wants to truly experience. He's got no room to make any jokes.
I'll never sit there and not do what the officer tells me to do, though.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank
Good
you
luck.
Very much, Tom. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to a military academy cadet who does not understand and is very vocally opposed to American military seen in the newspaper complaining about the tour of duty, some of them seen visibly upset, families of military visibly upset. He thinks they're cowards. And he believes that he and his cadet friends would make better soldiers than these guys. 1-800-449-8686. Have you seen the newspaper articles? Did you see it in USA Today? Some of the guys in the 3rd Infantry Division are complaining. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're with Cadet R.C. Collins from the Bradley Military Academy. Are you with other cadets at the arcade right now?
Yes, sir. We're just kicking it at the Pasadena Mall Arcade right now. It's a good way to relax.
All right. You have been very vocal in seeing troops, American GIs in Iraq, complaining about their tour of duty. And you say that those guys would have been better trained had they been through military academy?
Absolutely.
Please, and then we're going to go to another call, but very quickly, tell me why.
Well, first of all, Mr. Henry, I've been in a military academy, and those guys that are in Iraq probably haven't. We're more educated. We're smarter. We're not tricked by the enemy into being sad about everything. The GIs that are over there right now are being tricked into thinking that they're losing because they're not, most of those guys did not go to college or to a military academy. But we are smarter, and no raghead's going to trick me into thinking that I'm getting my ass kicked. That, I think, is the most important thing. And the other thing, and this is the toughest one for me to say, I really do believe, Mr. Henry, we need to identify the guys that have been crying to the newspaper so that when they get home, they don't get no veteran status. And I know that's...
Well, you can't do that.
I'm sorry, sir. I think we have to.
Meaning they don't get any benefits.
Only the guys that actually shot people or shot their gun off and took the names should be given hospital stuff and whatever checks they send.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Linda, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. This kid, he is an absolute idiot. He doesn't have a clue. I've been in a military family. I know what it's like to have your dad go overseas.
Do you know what it's like to go overseas yourself? Not your dad. Did you go?
No, but you know what? If you feel that strongly, maybe your daddy, who has a plant in California that has a lot of money, maybe he could do without you, and you could go ahead and live up to your ideals, which is go over and kill the enemy. Because you know what?
Yes, I do.
This dadgum war will still be on a year from now or 2 years from now. And incidentally, how old are you? You don't even remember what the war is like.
Ma'am,
you don't remember what World War One, World War Two,
let me ask you
Korean
something.
War.
Why didn't you join up and be an RN? Why didn't you join up and be a nurse? You could have helped out with guys that are shot, but you didn't. You're still sitting home watching television and everything.
Oh, my... yeah, kid. I'm really at home watching TV. I was a single mother raising three kids, and they're all older than you are.
So?
And you know what?
So what?
They have a lot more sense than you are. My son was a National Merit Scholar with 172 IQ.
Ha, 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 ha.
The devil is yours.
National Merit Scholar, that get a nickel will get you a handy wipe for your butt.
Have some respect. Have some, hold on.
My son went to a regular school and didn't think he was better than everybody else because he's in a military school.
Well, I'm ready to go over and fight for my country. My father may send for me this next summer because he needs a new shop foreman. That's the only thing stopping me.
Well, you know what? If your dad's that well off, I'm sure he can afford a shop foreman who has a lot more knowledge about his so-called plant than you do. After all, if you've been in a military academy for who knows how long, then and you think you're more qualified than these kids that are over there giving their lives?
Giving their lives?
At it.
That guy's on TV crying like a baby. And I have to say this.
Do you even have a clue on how many people have already died over there?
Listen,
do you have a clue on how many people died in Vietnam?
Look at the way
you
get dead.
Do you have a clue how many people died in Korean War?
In what?
In the Korean War.
The Korean War.
Do you know about it?
Ma'am.
My dad was in the airplane
ma'am,
in the
that
Korean
was in the,
War.
That was in the 19th century. I'm talking about...
The Korean War was 50 years ago.
The Korean War was still a war.
That's not a war. That's something that they just did. You
don't disrespect Korean War veterans. There were thousands of them.
Well, I'm not familiar.
That's right, kid. You're not familiar because you don't have a clue. Do you know how many kids died in Vietnam? And the average
yes.
age was 19 years
yes,
old?
Yes, I do. 356.
All right. How old was the average person who died?
27.
You're wrong. The
no, you're
kid
wrong.
Was 19.
What do you mean
the
356?
The 50... was older.
56, 50,000 guys died in Vietnam.
Well, and you got your facts messed up.
No, you got a 15-year war and 356 guys died, huh? We should have won it then.
The only thing I'm saying, I don't even know why I'm arguing with a civilian lady, is that if we went over to Iraq with the idea of kicking butt and taking names. And I have to say this too, Mr. Henry. These guys that are crying on the newspaper are guilty of being court-martialed, and you can be shot. So think about that. And maybe you're related to one of them, lady, and he may get shot.
You know what?
Yeah, worried, aren't you?
All I can say is it's a shame that those guys are over there are dying for the likes of you.
Dying? The guy's wiping the tears from his eyes, can't get to the payphone fast enough to call his mama.
You have no idea what these guys are going through that are over there.
Well,
you don't
I would hope
how many of these guys over there have lost their best friends. You don't know how many of them have lost family. Have a clue.
That rolls off my knife like water.
That's because you have no brains.
Yeah,
that's why you need to be over there getting your ass kicked.
Oh, well, the Scarecrow didn't have any brains, but guess what? In the end, he did.
Oh, will you shut up with this? The kid, you sound stupid. You,
Mr. Henry, I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country and not sit behind a cash register at the Suds and
never mind. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, see, she's laughing now.
Laughing? You're ridiculously funny. Thank you, Linda, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The guys that are complaining about the long tour of duty in Iraq, the guys that are upset, the family members that are upset, are they just asking for a court-martial? This young man who goes to a military academy thinks he's a better soldier than any of them, he and his cadet friends. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Back with more phone calls. Cadet R.C. Collins joins us. We're talking about the reports that military guys, some of our GIs in Iraq have been complaining about their tour of duty to the press. Their family's been complaining. Go ahead, R.C., then we'll take a call.
Let me tell you, Mr. Henry, I'm in the military academy. Let me tell you about military discipline, and I think that this is what the crux of the issue is. There's no discipline over there, and there's no one over there telling those guys to just stand tall before the man and quit crying about it. Military academy discipline is very tough, and I doubt very seriously if any of the GIs could stand up to it. I can tell you a little story. We were in the mess hall one night, and we had mashed potatoes, and this had been, I think, the fourth or fifth night in a row, and we got tired of it, and we had a general strike, and I went to the commandant and said, "We're sick of the mashed potatoes and the chow." Now that is flagrant defiance, but I took my chances and I underwent military discipline.
What is that comprised of?
It's fairly harsh in military academies. The commandant, and again, I don't know how graphic you want me to be, but
This is discipline?
Yes, sir, it is.
Go ahead.
The commandant uses a broom handle, and I won't go further, but it is standard in many military academies where he works you with a broom handle.
Standard in military?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Marie, go ahead.
I don't know what that commandant done with that broom, but he should have shoved it somewhere. Not in his mouth. Furthermore, what kind of weed is he smoking? He must be getting weed from somewhere, or ecstasy or something.
I don't take any of that.
Because he talks like a damn stupid jerk. That's just what he is.
I don't know how
you can put a fool like that on the air. I just cannot understand.
He's in a military academy, man.
I think he's a jerk. Nothing but a two-faced low-down. Get him out of that
academy. I've got the courage to go over to Iraq.
He's not to do anything to anybody.
All right, well, let's let R.C. respond. Go ahead.
I doubt very seriously if any of our GIs could take a broom handle the way I did. And
oh,
then
God.
File a... What?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, what?
Oh, God. You should have had that stuck up your butt. That's
yeah,
what you should have had instead of in
yeah.
your mouth.
Can you give directions on how to do that?
You know what? You know what? You better go and get yourself a place to stay all by yourself because you are not worth it. You are not an American.
Ma'am,
you
I
must
love
be
my
some
country,
kind of a nut.
And
citizen.
I want to go over to
you
Iraq.
You are. You're nothing but a low-bred-faced little bastard.
What?
I have to tell you that.
Ma'am,
because our boys are the best.
You used a dirty word.
I am 78 years old.
No,
and all my
you're
children
kidding.
Were in this military. And thank God I got them home. And God bless America.
I'm an American.
To get
I'm serving my country right
a
now.
A fool like you to be on the air.
Let me tell
I
you a little
know,
bit about
a
being a soldier. I'm prepared to put a wooden stake through Saddam Hussein's heart.
It's a disgrace that you're on the air.
I want to take this
in. It's a disgrace that you're on the air.
Well, ma'am,
get the hell
I'll
home
fight
where
for
you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Henry, she's not allowing
you are,
me to say anything.
You are.
Well, all right,
you are a disgrace to the American.
Go ahead and respond, R.C.
I'm going to take Saddam Hussein's head out on a stake. Then
all
you'll see.
Right. All right. You're going to do.
You can thank me
you
for any time for
do.
Your freedom, by the way.
You are. You're a low-faced. You call yourself an American.
What do you mean low-faced?
You
I don't
are,
get that.
You are not an American, dear boy. You are not.
You want to see my birth certificate
not.
And everything.
You are not. You better go work for your father. You better do something, dig holes or something.
Get a piece of fat and slide off.
Go on. Oh, really? Nee, you better tell your mother and father that wherever the hell they got you from.
Father's sending
wherever
me.
Wherever they got you from.
Father's sending
it's,
for
it's
me.
It's a disgrace.
All right, okay,
you
thank
are
you.
A disgrace.
You better calm down, Granny. You're going to
you
pop
are,
something.
Yes, right.
All right.
You
all right.
are a, he is a disgrace.
All right, I'm sorry about that, Maria. Everybody's
he is
entitled.
A disgrace.
Everybody's at...
You want to say that one more
he's
time?
He's a disgrace.
Thank you. That's clear for the drop.
He is
yeah,
a
okay.
disgrace.
All right, Marie. Thank you
he's
very much.
He's a disgrace to the Americans. He should be... He should... Oh, God, please. Get me off.
Get her off. Who's she talking to?
I think she meant hanging up the phone.
I don't think so. I think there's a guy...
Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Michael. Michael, go ahead.
Yes, I just a quick question and statement for this cadet in this academy. I spent 10 years in the military, and I served my country in the first Gulf War and got wounded and shot people, so you don't have to ask those questions.
You shot
my,
people?
Yeah, oh, no, yeah. It's
how
kind
do you
of
know?
Hard to believe that, isn't it?
How do you know?
But here, now
how
listen,
do you know?
No, cadet, you listen here, okay? Number one. The attitude that you have right now, if you go over and if they pass this and allow you to do this, I have to reconcile with the higher-ups on this, but if you go over there with the attitude that you have right now, not only are you going to get yourself killed, but anybody with you is going to go with you. Do you
that
understand
doesn't...
what I'm saying here? Because
no.
your attitude...
No, I don't.
Your attitude about this whole situation is totally out of this world.
I don't understand.
You don't understand.
No, sir.
I can understand going over there and fighting for my country. I did that.
Yes, sir.
And I volunteered to do that, and I was able to do that. I can understand that. My problem is your attitude and the what you want to do with it. Okay, sitting there screaming and bad-mouthing people in the military, regardless of the situation, what you see on the media and what you see in the newspaper is not necessarily always the truth.
I don't understand what he's saying.
What do you mean you don't understand? The man's making a perfect point here. What you see in the media isn't always the truth. And besides, this guy that you say is crying, he might be just rubbing his eyes. It's a dirty freaking place that he's living in over there. Do you understand that?
No, sir, I don't.
Are you an idiot?
No, what is the point you guys are making?
The point is, you don't... Look, first of all, the newspaper is probably the last place you got to get your news.
Look. I think this guy wants his bunkie.
No.
What?
Hold on.
No, it's
you're
my turn.
There.
What?
You're...
I mean, binky.
What?
Huh?
Who?
Mama.
Oh, yeah. Winner, man.
I don't know what happened to Michael. I don't know what happened to that RC kid. But you know what? I'm thankful. I'm grateful. They're gone.
in there.
Knew he had to get that one in, man. R.C. Collins, Bradley Military Academy. And by the way, the Phil Hendry Show is not responsible for any opinion expressed by our guests. If you want to contact the Bradley Military Academy, there is an address for that on our website, philhendryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. I apologize. It's Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, it's time now to take a walk down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show. All this talk about wanting our mamas and being afraid. Back in December of 2002, people were saying that George Bush was simply mimicking the behavior of his father or was looking for his father's approval in his proposed invasion of Iraq. We had a guest on, Vernon Dozier, who believed that very thing. Let's take a walk down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show. President Bush may have an issue about his father. He may not. I personally, and I'm not saying I agree with whether we ought to go to Iraq or not. I personally think we should, but this does not color my opinion. He may or not may not be right about going to Iraq, but I do not believe that it's motivated by any need to prove something to his father. I think it's motivated mostly by a need, a foreign policy need to control terrorism.
That is such the party line, though, Phil. I mean, he's dragging 250 million Americans in his healing process with Dada.
Jesus, man, you really... I just heard the way you said that.
The way I said what?
Da-da.
Because that's exactly what it is. And I will never be tied to the apron strings of my papa. And I will never be tied to the apron strings of my nana. The way George Bush Jr. is. He's tied to his mama. And I'll say it again, and you can laugh if you want to. I think he's tied to his da-da.
Well?
I really honestly do. I really honestly do. And if the president were really honest with the American people, he wouldn't speak of the former George Bush as an ex-president. He'd just say, I was on the phone to my papa last night, and he was telling me a few things.
Really?
Yes. I know you think it's funny, but I think we've got a lot of lives at stake here, Phil.
No, I know there's a lot of lives at stake. I don't think it's funny.
I really don't mean to be funny, Phil. I really want the American people to hear me. President George Bush Jr. is going to drag a lot of men into their death because he's trying to prove something to his parents. Whether it's to prove his manhood to his men. Mommy.
Uh-huh.
Or whether it's to prove something to his... Father, I really think it's important.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Amy. Hi, Amy.
I think he's wrong, and I think he's an idiot, and I...
An idiot.
I think that he is bringing his emotions to the United States against our president, that I'm a Democrat, and I did not vote for Bush, but...
All right.
He is our president, and he is destroying our collective wishes that our president take care of Iraq.
Well, now
Iraq
that's a...
has terrorized us, and we really should pay him back.
That's an interesting comment, Amy. Vernon, how do you respond to that?
Well, Amy, my feeling is if George Bush Jr. didn't spend most of his time in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble looking for heal the dada within books, we may not be on the brink of war. I mean, I had to get Mama to change Georgie's dirty, smelly diaper.
Oh, you're really belittling the president.
Well, Amy, don't you agree with that?
And I'm not really going to be participating, but thank you all.
Well, all right, ma'am, but just remember, when the president goes, boom, someone has to clean it up.
Here is Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
I kind of agree with Vernon here a little bit.
Thank you.
I believe George Jr. is just doing a job that his daddy couldn't finish. For example, we knew...
Well, wait, but I don't want him to finish the job. I don't want him to finish the job. George wants his papa to see him ride the big bike with two wheels.
Oh, I believe that might be part of it. Like, hey, Dad, look at me. I can do the job.
Exactly.
I believe that's exactly what it is.
Hey, Daddy, look at me. I'm on the big bike with the two wheels, not the training wheel.
I'm a big man now. I'm where you are. I can do it better than you can do it.
Wait a minute, you guys. Are you trying to tell me that the President of the United States would put 250 million Americans on the brink of perhaps
global war? Look at all
that's
that.
Right.
We don't talk about Gaddafi. We don't talk about Castro. All we talk about is Hussein.
If his daddy would have finished the job, he wouldn't have had to do it. Morning, noon, and night, all I ever hear about is Saddam Hussein because George Bush is in the White House, and he called up and he said,
Daddy, I gotta go get Hussein.
What is it with you, man?
And I'm sorry that I have to be sarcastic.
Sarcastic doesn't even begin to describe what you're being. You're being insultful, insightful. You're being rude to a president.
Oh, well.
Papa, watch me. I go poo and bowl.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Is that right?
That's right.
I go poo and bowl, not in Patty Day.
Oh, shut up. Funny how long we milked that joke. I mean, that's funny all the way through. That's like 5 minutes worth of just...
Papa!
Jokes. Man! Out of sight, baby. Out of sight. 10 things men don't know about women is the subject of a column. And this, by the way, is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Although I doubt very seriously whether we're going to have any time for any phone calls this hour. But stick around, baby, because we got some coming up. Is the subject of a column written in one of these online magazines. 10 things men don't know about women. And the writer goes on, naturally it's written by a woman, and the writer goes on to say that women don't like it when you show us how to lift weights. We think it means you think we're fat. That we don't like it when you suggest going out to eat at a healthy restaurant for the same reason. Unlike you, we want to hang out with your family. If you are responsible for our cat running away, the relationship will end shortly. I don't know if they're trying to be funny or not. But I came up with 10 things that men don't know about women. I did. Because we're the guys to ask. You don't ask a woman what it is a man doesn't know about a woman. You ask a guy what he doesn't know about a woman. Here, I'll give you an example. 10 things that guys don't know about women. I don't know what it's like to have a baby. What's that about? I mean, it must be painful, man. I can't even imagine that. Just the kid coming out? 2, I don't know what it feels like not having a penis. A lot of women say, that's wild. It must be weird having that thing hanging down. That's totally comfortable for me. I don't know what it's like being you. That's really strange. 3, men don't know what it's like to have breasts. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole other apparatus up there that's just fraught with all kinds of possibility. We don't know what it's like to have large breasts, as long as you want to get on the subject. 5, among the 10 things men don't know about women, we don't know what it's like to wear high heels all the time and pantyhose. You know, when you look at it, it looks great, but it's got to be like being stuffed into sausage casing or something. It can't be all that comfortable. This is the stuff that guys don't know about women. We don't know what it's like to breastfeed a baby. Think about that, man. Now, I don't know. A, pain in the ass? You bet. B, time-consuming? You bet. C, drag? Uh-huh. Everything about breastfeeding a kid translates into drag for any man that I know. anyway. 7, what's it like to bleed once a month from your genitals? What the hell's that about? What is that? And not be able to leave the house during that period of time without, you know, boxes and boxes and boxes of maxi pads. Just boxes of them. There's 10 things that men don't know about women, okay? I know it was 7, but it's 10. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. And by the way, our CD, the sale of which the proceeds of which go to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, is available. It's the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, and we got another one coming up for 2003, but we do want you to check out our 2002. It's a double CD set for the price of one. It's really a tremendous bargain, and it is the greatest of them all, of all of the CDs we've done. Please check it out. Pick it up. You can get it online at www.philhendryshow.com, or you can call at 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445, and get all the information there. We'll mail it on out to you. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.